Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Well, I'm, I'm kind of excited because tomorrow night is the Christmas program here on the Malloy Show. Hope you're going to stick around for that. And then we'll be off Monday and Tuesday, back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I don't know where to begin tonight. We're going to have some Manor Monkey press stuff tonight. He held his last press briefing of the year. Can't wait till it's his last press briefing ever. You heard some of these clips on other news shows today, so we'll spare you too many of these, but we do have a smattering of moron sounds on the program tonight that you may find entertaining. And you may not. Some of you just switch over to an FM rock station when we get to Manor Monkey. That's okay, you know. You'll come back. I watched today the live video from New Orleans from inside the city council meeting, and then outside after the council meeting was closed and the press was thrown out. And I watched something that it was just utterly and absolutely heartbreaking. In the first place, it was a clear example of how brown shirt fascism works. The people of New Orleans, in certain precincts in New Orleans, who had everything that they owned taken by Katrina, and then two years ago, listened as George Bush stood in Jackson Square and promised that help was on the way, everything would be done to help the people who had had their entire lives, except literally their lives, everything, all the accoutrement of life, their lives gone, taken, washed away, flooded, destroyed. And, of course, I think anyone who's been paying attention over the past 2 years kind of knew this would happen. First, the private security guards that were sent down there to confiscate people's guns. Secondly, the treatment of the black refugees. Third, the refusal of white police in the surrounding parishes to allow blacks to cross out of a dead zone and into an area where they might be able to get some assistance. The scattering of these people all around the country. The absolutely horrific way they were treated by the bitch goddess of the Bush family, Barbara Bush, the old crone who went to the Houston Astrodome and spouted her garbage about how they were much better off in the Astrodome than where they were in New Orleans. The arrogance of that statement is totally off the chart. Tom DeLay's statements to a couple little black kids, that it's just like camp, isn't it? It just went on and 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 on. And the predators moved in, as predators always do. The capitalistic predators moved in. Hey, goddamn, you see what's going on down there in New Orleans? Let's go down there and steal us some of them lots. What are them darkies going to do? Hell, they didn't own the property. Nobody knows who owned the property. They didn't keep any records. That stuff's up for grabs, man. Come on, let's go. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. The City Council of New Orleans, I believe it's three whites and three blacks on that council, which I think proves that anybody, regardless of color, regardless of political persuasion, can be bought off, can treat members of their own tribe, their own race, their own gender, their own ethnic group, their own church, their own synagogue like dirt. And you saw an example of it today. The city council voted unanimously in favor of demolishing 4,500 public housing units that should be demolished, but the people who lived there, the people who had an interest, the people who had lives there, what about them? Nothing. Screw them. To hell with them. The unanimous vote on the city council will permit the federal government to tear down these housing developments. Now, while this decision was being made in the city council chambers in New Orleans, outside, police were using chemical spray, stun guns, and taser weapons against people who were trying to force their way into the city council chamber. The AP reports of people being injured, People being, well, here's one. One woman was strayed and dragged from the gates, sprayed and dragged from the gates. Emergency workers took her away on a stretcher. Another woman said she was stunned by officers, tasered, and still had what appeared to be a taser wire hanging from her shirt. The woman said, "I was just standing, trying to get into my city council meeting." Bill Quigley, a Loyola University law professor who opposes this demolition, said as he held a strand of taser wire he said had been shot into another of the protesters. The professor said, "Is this what democracy looks like?" Quick answer, Bill, you bet it is. In Bush's America, you're damn right. That's exactly what democracy looks like. Professor Quigley said he believed the crackdown, the use of the gendarmes to beat people, taser people, spray people with pepper spray, deny people a right to be heard, violated public meetings laws. Public meetings laws? Professor, I appreciate the fact that you were there, and you're a white man. I appreciate the fact that you were there, but violated public meetings laws? Now, this violated laws of human dignity and respect. And, you know, Professor Namaste, honoring the humanity, the spirituality inside those people who were being beaten to the ground by the police in Orleans. Because, well, essentially because they happen to be poor. Protesters said they pushed against the iron gates that kept them out of the building because the Housing Authority of New Orleans had disproportionately allowed supporters of the demolition to pack the chambers. Why, of course. Why, of course. It's like a Bush rally. An afternoon storm thinned the demonstrators, thunder, lightning, downpour, some of whom had been waiting since 7 o'clock in the morning to get into the meeting. And after the afternoon vote, unanimously against poor people, the crowd disappeared altogether. Prior to the violence outside, there was violence inside. If you saw the video, there was some fighting in the chambers between protesters and police. Cops grabbing handfuls of people's hair and jerking their heads around as if they were trying to rip them off. Residents who used to live in these areas and their advocates say they fear this plan, adopted unanimously by the New Orleans City Council, will result in loss of badly needed housing for the city's low-income black residents. Yeah, it will. It will. I misspoke. There are 4 whites and 3 black council members, and all 7 voted to tell the poor people to get out of town, I guess. Social workers say the number of homeless people in what used to be New Orleans public housing, homeless people from that area now equal about 12,000 people, of whom a large percentage, are children. School-age children, kids in preschool, kids about Molly's age, Gally. There's no consensus on what's best for New Orleans poor, even among public housing residents. But that is not to be considered. What is to be considered are the developers who will now move in, like the jackals, hyenas, carrion feeders that they are, the sons of bitches. And the people who used to live in New Orleans, the people who watched their city submerged because they relied, as people are supposed to do, on right thinking from the federal government, from the Corps of Engineers, from Bush's statements following this tragedy, those people, they can piss off. They don't count. They don't matter. And pretty soon, no one will even remember they ever existed. Nobody seems to have a sense of urgency. Now the mayor's been reduced to crying. I guess Bush said niggas been used to dying. He said, "I know it looks bad, just have to wait. Forgetting folks were too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I bet he had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the back remains." We'll
anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. I think there ought to be zero tolerance of looting. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility.
Twenty-one past the hour. It's just astonishing. Over two years since the biggest natural disaster ever to hit this country, and today the New Orleans City Council, after being bought off and threatened, sold off the lives of the people that used to live there in these affected areas. It's just gone now. And no consideration for them whatsoever. Nobody stepped up the plate and said, look, for all the people that lived here, and I know it's going to be difficult, but show something that proves that you lived here. Maybe your mama in Salem, Oregon, has a letter you wrote to her 6 years ago that has your address in one of the submerged parishes. But whatever. Just bring us something. Let us see that you lived there. Let us see. Part of the housing that we're going to build, we'll let you rent it, you know, like you did before, or let you buy it. Well, you know, you're black, so you can't buy it. You only make $7.87 an hour cleaning out grease traps at some of the wonderful New Orleans restaurants, so we'll let you rent it. Forget the buying thing. Just kidding. No consideration whatsoever to the people who were the soul of New Orleans. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Just go away. You sons of bitches will taser you, will pepper spray you, will beat you down. You can't come in here. You know, this is where decisions are being made, here in the city council. This is where we're sitting down with housing and urban development. This is where we're sitting down with the developers. This is where we're sitting down where deals are being made and folks are determining how much money they're going to make when these new units go up. But you folks, get out of here. We will taser you. We will spray you with pepper spray. And if you don't watch out, we'll start shooting your ass with rubber bullets. Get out of here. Get away from our iron gates. Who are you people? Get away. Go away. You used to live there. Hey, you don't live there now, do you, bro? Huh? Go away. Go away. And I've never been able to understand. And this is because I'm white, and I don't get it. Black folks understand this, but I don't. Because, my consciousness about this kind of stuff stops at my skin. I don't understand how black folk in positions of power, whether they're cops or city council members or whatever, once you're in a position of power, how do you beat up or legislate against other black folk? I don't understand that. Now, white cops beating up white people, that's fine, because white people have always been in power. So if it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter when white folks are arrested by white cops or white folks are beat up by white police. It doesn't matter. It's not. White folks are not oppressed. They are not suppressed. They are not denied. They are not attacked with police dogs. They are not prohibited from riding in the front or the back or on top of the goddamn bus. But I've never been able to understand how you join the oppressor of your own people. I can't understand that. And that leaves me stuck somewhere in the 60s and 70s. I understand. I'm stuck. I can't get with kind of the new Negro attitude. You know, look, we're all in this together. Don't worry about it, because I know that's a joke. That's a joke. So I don't know. I have trouble with that, and I've got to outgrow it before I get so old and die that it doesn't matter. But I've got to try to outgrow that. I've got to get beyond that. I've got to get beyond seeing something weird about black cops tasering and shooting stuff into black people who have gathered together to try to protest the fact that they're being kicked to the curb like they're empty tin cans. Just get out of here. You do not belong here. There is business going on in here. Get out. I can't. I'm sorry. And that makes me some sort of racist. Inverted racist, upside down racist, somebody who is not colorblind. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know that pisses white people off to hear a white person talk like me. And I know it pisses black people off sometimes because they say to themselves, man, get over it. Get over it. Come on. Get up here in the 21st century. What do you want to march to Selma again? Come on. Wake up, Malloy. This is the new game. We're all right. We're okay. What are you talking about? I'll bet you some of those developers are black. Chill, Malloy. Forget about it. It's over. It's done. Let it go. You're right. You're caught behind your white skin. Let it go. Let it go. All right. I'm going to let it go. Watch this. It's gone.
I'm not black, but there's a whole lot of times I wish I could say I'm not white. Fires burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Watch a mob just turn and bite them, and they say it served them right because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me and all that.
I was disappointed, frankly, in the vote I got in the African-American community. I put people in my cabinet. I put people in my sub-cabinet.
Well, that's great, George. 26 before the hour. Let's go to your phone calls as quickly as we can here. Let's start with Terry, who's calling from Austin, Texas. Terry, welcome to the program.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I don't agree with your statements about New Orleans.
Okay. Where do you disagree?
Well, I'm a New Orleanian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And...
Are you black or white? Because that factors into this discussion. What race are you?
I'm white.
Okay.
But 93% of the people want those places gone.
Where do you get that figure?
WWL.
Excuse me?
WWL.
Radio?
Channel 4 TV.
93% of...
Agree with the city council's decision tonight.
93% of... You're leaving me hanging here. 93% of what?
Of the city's... a poll done by WWL.
Okay, wait a second. Is that 93% of the people whose homes are gone?
Well, I don't know. It's 93%
of the people. No, wait. No, don't go stupid on me, okay? I'm gonna give you as much time as you want, but don't go stupid on me. 93% of the people in the WWL poll said we want that stuff gone. Did WWL give you and the listeners to their station any information as to whether or not people whose homes are gone were included in the 93%?
I have no clue.
Okay, well then if you don't have a clue, then you have no business quoting the poll. Okay, you understand what I'm saying there, right? Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. So don't call up and tell me I'm wrong. If the people of New Orleans who are not flooded out, who did not become refugees, who have not seen their homes destroyed, who were not out there in front of that city council meeting today, if those people are polled and 93% of them say, yeah, tear the goddamn things down, we're tired of looking at them, then fine. Call me and tell me that. You kind of miss the point when you call me and tell me that people who are secure, who do have homes, who do have jobs, who do want to see the developers move in, that 93% of them are in agreement with the idea. You missed the point of what I was taught. Oh, never mind. Jesus, never mind. Ed is calling from New Orleans, listening on Sirius. Ed, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Mike. Love your show.
Uh-huh. But
I am standing in my driveway next to my house, which has been raised 5 feet, and I've spent the last 2 years rebuilding my life in New Orleans and driving home. I listened and I watched what was going on TV, and I also am having a hard time agreeing with some of your positions.
Oh, no, wait. Now I'm going to say to you the same thing I said to the last guy.
And I listened
to
what you
said. No, wait. Don't go wobbly on me.
Okay.
What positions do you disagree with that I have taken?
You have stated that the tasering and the pepper spray and all of this stuff is being used on residents of New Orleans. That's not necessarily true. There's a lot of folks here protesting that do not have standing in the city. They do not live here. They are here to protest, and I acknowledge that standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves.
Okay, so you have a problem with that?
No,
this is a terrible analogy. This is a terrible analogy. But we have 160,000 fully armed military men in another neighborhood who allegedly are standing up for people who don't have any rights there. I guess if you're against the 30 or 40 organizers, human rights organizers, who are in New Orleans standing up for people who don't have the ability to stand up, I guess you're against our occupation of Iraq, too.
You're going to an extreme, which is where I didn't go. I didn't go there. I agree with your positions on Iraq. Those are my positions.
Well, what are you saying?
Is different.
How is it? All right. How is tasering people and shooting people and knocking them down? How is that a good thing? Or how do you disagree?
I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like the way that went down.
Why do you bring it up? Why do you bring that up as an example?
Let me finish the sentence.
This sounds terrible to people listening. I'll tell you what. Here's how we'll do it. You talk, then I'll talk. All right, my turn. You said you disagree with the position I'm taking. I said, in what way? Where do you disagree? And you immediately go for the tasering and the pepper spray.
Okay.
And then you back up and say, no. I really don't like that, but what comes after the but?
I didn't have the opportunity to fully prepare my response. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, take your time.
The issue at hand here is the project. 4,000 plus units, which have been for many years, a source of crime and blight on our city, on my city, the place where I live, the place that I call home. I do not agree with tearing them all down, but many of them we do not need. I think that density should be reduced. I think that the blight, the people that have been living in those places have been living in horrible conditions. Why continue to force them to come home to New Orleans and live in those conditions when we have the opportunity now to tear that stuff down and build housing that is inhabitable by human beings?
All right, now,
we have
right.
that opportunity now, and
okay.
that's what I want to see. That is the point I'm trying to make to
okay,
you.
I'm sorry
I got off on the wrong track.
No, but you're making it to the wrong person. Isn't that why the people showed up at City Hall today to begin with? To present that very argument? Weren't those people... Okay, you say no. If that's the case...
If that's the case,
then every single news reporting or organization in this country had it wrong today, and you had it right. Those people showed up because they wanted to go in and state their case. Their case being this, essentially what you're saying. Yeah, tear the crap rat-infested hovels down, but don't turn us out into the street.
Okay, you're
give us a chance to have a place to live. Now let me ask you, Ed.
Ed,
do you think that the developers who are going to come in there like maggots on a corpse are going to provide the kind of low rent housing that these people are asking for, that the people in New Orleans had before this tragedy? Now, give me an honest answer.
If the city and HUD say that's what they have to do, then that's what they will do.
But that didn't even come up.
I don't know, but I don't know that.
Okay, if you don't know that, let me clue you into something. The people who showed up there today wanted to get in to state their case. Who was in that packed meeting? The way I understand it from your news sources, your Channel 6 in New Orleans, is that that city hall meeting was stacked with the developers and the supporters of tearing it down, and to hell with the people who used to live there. I'm not in favor of putting people in slum developments either. The city of New Orleans or the state of Louisiana or housing and urban development, somebody should have given folks a hand up a long time before this hurricane hit. What the hurricane did, what the floods did, was put everything in crisis mode. Do you understand that there are still tens of thousands of people who are still living a refugee life in this country because of where they lived in New Orleans was destroyed? So how are those people being considered?
I agree with you. I agree with that, all of what you just said.
Well, why are you calling me and telling me you disagree?
Some of the things you've been saying are just inflammatory. You're inflaming an issue.
What things? Saying that people shouldn't be tasered, they shouldn't be pepper sprayed, they shouldn't be stomped.
Of course that's horrible. Of course that's horrible.
Oh, Jesus. All right, Ed.
Are you going to hang up on me now?
No, Ed, I'm going to put you on hold, and then I'm going to hang up because I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I have no idea where you're coming from. We've been on the air for 7 minutes here. I don't have a clue what you're saying. I really don't. I think you're a confused white man who doesn't know what, a liberal maybe, who doesn't know where the hell to go with your argument. You started out by saying you disagreed with the position I was taking. I asked you, what did you disagree with? You said about the tasering and the beating people up. I said, oh, you support that? No, I don't support it. I said, well, what then? The housing? No, I don't support slums. You said, okay, fine, you don't. Neither do I. Where is... I mean, we're just going around in circles here. I don't know what you support either. And as far as my making inflammatory statements, give me a break. There are 80, 90, 100,000 people who used to have a life in New Orleans who had their asses kicked about four times. First by floods, secondly by the state, third by George Bush, fourth by housing urban development. Do you know how many of these people have been living in these goddamn trailers? That you wouldn't put a dog in and you're going to tell me that my statements are inflammatory? Get off my radio show. Ten before the hour, regarding this issue, Bruce writes in, Mike, the 2 points that tell all is that they have not started to build one single unit of new housing in 2 years. They've kept the units empty that were undamaged and are tearing them down, yet vast areas of rubble remain untouched. Look, I don't know. Whether you live in New Orleans or if you live on Mars, I don't give a damn. If you can't see and smell a scam when one is going on right in front of your eyes, nobody is interested in making sure that the people who lost everything in New Orleans unlose everything, not to any degree. This is not a result of somebody's crappy-ass behavior.
Well, Mike, people are responsible for their own lives.
Really? Okay, I'll go along with that to a certain degree. How were the people who were flooded, the people who wound up in the Superdome, the people who screamed, please, please help us, how are they responsible for the fact that they lost every damn thing? What were they doing? I'm not talking about the criminals and the pimps and the drug pushers. They exist everywhere. They exist in the top flight, $7 million white mansions all over the country. They just don't get caught. And if they do get caught, they buy their way out. Come on, give me a break here. Now, the poll, the WWL survey, it was one of those tell-us-what-you-think surveys. 522 votes. 93.49% agree with the city council's vote. Whoa, Jesus Christ, 522 votes, really? That's really representative of New Orleans, isn't it? And I went to the website. It's sponsored by Peretti, Family of Dealerships. It's an online poll. Did it ever occur to any of you folks who want to call in and bust my balls that maybe people who are homeless don't have access to a goddamn computer? Man! I can't believe it. I can't believe it. First two calls I get on this issue are people who want to tell me something that my point of view, that these people in New Orleans over 2 years are being screwed with the city council vote. And the first two callers I get on some basis want to tell me, no, they're not being screwed. Well, I don't agree with the tasering, but they're not being screwed. You know, those are rat-infested slums. Okay? How long have they been rat-infested slums? Why weren't they torn down 2 years ago? Why wasn't low-income housing? Anybody pay any attention anymore to low-income housing? Anybody know what the hell that means anymore? Is it all McMansions? Is it all the 6,000-square-foot, two-level houses? Does anybody know? Does anybody give a goddamn that there is a big percentage of the population in this country that's got to have rental property, that's got to have places they can rent for $800, $900 a month? And you can make money renting those kinds of places if you're the landlord? Why does it always have to be just the upper 10% or 5% or 2% or 1% or 0.5% that gets the gravy and everybody else gets the boot? Why is that, huh? And then I see something on television like I saw today. Oh, Mike, those are outside agitators. Oh, really? Kind of like it was in Selma, Alabama. How many Selma, Alabamans marched on that march, huh? How many people? How about the Freedom Riders? All those burned out buses and people being lynched. They were outsiders too. Why were they there? Get off my ass. Get off my head with that kind of ridiculous argument.
Those are outsiders, Mike.
That sounds like what some white, pot-bellied, redneck sheriff said in 1963, right before they decided to hang another Negro.
Well, he's not from here, Mike. He came down here from Chicago. Some bitch doesn't have any right being here. We'll take care of our niggers. Don't worry about it.
I've said it 100 times in 25 years of radio. The race thing in this country? Don't talk to me about Tiger Woods and Barack Obama. Don't. Or Oprah Winfrey. Don't even bother. Okay? The race thing in this country is never going to go away until it becomes impossible to tell who's black and who's white. Huh? How about that? Now, I know a lot of black folks are sitting back saying, well, oh, you're crazier than hell. Mm-hmm. Okay. It drives me crazy. You know, once again, I believe in the Rodney King thing. Remember how everybody just ripped Rodney King a new body orifice when he said, why can't we just all get along? after how many people, 30 people that died in the L.A. riots or whatever the hell it was? Who knows anymore? Nobody knows anymore. You cannot tell me without doing your damn Google search how many people died in those riots in New Orleans. In L.A., you can't even tell me what year it was. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'll take your phone calls when we come back after the break on this issue. You know how I hate one-issue programs, but if you're on hold, we'll go ahead and do it. We'll do it. We'll put everything else that we got planned for this evening on hold for a while. We'll talk about this. We'll hear what you got to say. And if you want to call in and say, Malloy, you're crazier than a loon, okay, I'll let you go. You can say it. But Jesus, I gave the white liberal 7 minutes, and he never could clear up the other white guy who was just a jerk. What did he have, 3 minutes? What the hell? Either get your thought together. If you want to call in and tell me I'm wrong, fine. Hell, I'm wrong as much as I'm right. I don't know if I'm ever right. What you hear on this program is my opinion. But Jesus, if you're going to call in and tell me I'm wrong, have something on hand to back it up. That's all I ask. Is that too much? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoFM Radio. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. We're talking about what happened in New Orleans today. The city council there, 4 whites, 3 blacks, voted unanimously to tear down over 4,000 public housing units and turn the whole mess over to developers who, I think it's a given. The developers, frankly, don't give a damn what happens to the people who used to live there. Housing and Urban Development, which is run by a black man, is up to its neck in this theft. We're over 2 years since this tragedy occurred, and finally, after all the promises, after all the hard work by volunteers trying to help folks out, after all the promises from the Bush administration, from all the rhetoric, from members of Congress, nothing, absolutely nothing, not a single unit has been taken care of by the government. That's what government is for. Don't give me this crap about government is the problem. No, it's not. The misuse of the government is the problem. Government itself is fine. There's no problem with it at all. So the decision was made today that the refugees, the 60, 70, 80, 100, 200,000 people who were dispersed, who were kicked out by an act of nature, and subsequent acts by their own government, their own country, those people can go straight to hell. If they come back, what used to be where they lived will be something other than where they lived. And the people who were protesting today, who were not allowed into the meeting, because the hearing room was stacked with people who didn't want to hear this nonsense from the trash outside was treated like trash, tasered, pepper sprayed, kicked, beat, hair pulled, shoved aside, and the steel gates closed. Go away. Screw you. You don't count. Get out of here. So that's where we are in this discussion. Dave in Tampa says, Mike, do you believe that the dispersed and dispossessed black people in New Orleans would be treated any better if they were poor white trash instead? Not a whole lot better. Because class has become, maybe it always was, but it's really become a dividing line in this country now. but the racial dividing line. I'll tell you what. Take a person who has a dark skin color who has 20 times the education of some white person, and turn that black dress that black person up in just normal khaki pants and a shirt and a pair of sneakers, turn them loose in a white neighborhood, and see how quickly that black person. This is nothing you folks don't know. Come on, don't go dumb on me. Don't go stupid on me, okay? See how quickly that black man walking down the street minding his own business in a white neighborhood is going to be looked at. Somebody's going to phone in and say, there's a Negro out here. Now, same neighborhood, put a white man out there. Nothing. You know what I'm talking about. Better yet. Oh, never mind. Screw it. This is an email from Junglus in Chicago. The subject line, because I've raised a question about black cops beating black people. The writer says, Mike, most people of any race don't understand a black cop beating and abusing the rights of other black people. But just because we don't see chains doesn't mean that slavery doesn't exist. Mike, there are some in this country who have had the belief since birth that their only purpose in life is to get that ever-elusive pat on the head by their white counterparts. Look at HUD Secretary Alfonso Jackson. Bush pats him on the head all the time. Look at the people in this country who think they are black Republicans. The only black Republican real Republicans want to see is on a box of rice. I had similar thoughts as you when I saw the video, but being African-American, I know that there are still slaves in this country. The thought I had was, what will that black police officer with the fat on his neck going to do when the private contractors come to throw him out of his house? The sad thing is, he doesn't have a clue that it's coming. Well, you know, maybe I shouldn't have brought up the issue. But this has been something that I can't get out of my head. I can't. I mean, it's one thing to be absolutely focused or obsessed with the wars this crime family has started, and the enormous moral debt, ethical debt, this filthy Bush administration has put this country under. But it's something else again, isn't it? When you see New Orleans, for Christ's sake, New Orleans. New Orleans. Take a punch like it took. I will never be able to get out of my head the images from the New Orleans Superdome. A day after, 2 days after, 3 days after, 4 days after, 5 days after. The levees broke. I will never be able to erase that. Thousands of people begging, floating, struggling, kids, old people, dead people in wheelchairs, for Christ's sake. And all of them Americans, and every one of them dark-skinned. And nobody cared. How in the hell could the rest of us sit down and eat supper with that going on? That was our people. That's our country. That was our New Orleans. And we just sat there. Give me another chicken wing. All right, here. What's going on? Oh, man, the black folks down in New Orleans. Look at that. Look at that. Damn, they're getting them off the rooftops down there. Hey, look at that Coast Guard helicopter. Go, boys, rescue them. Good show. And as those stories came out of New Orleans, I'm sorry. I will never be able to erase those images. Corpses of Americans floating, laying there, just floating in that filthy, dirty water. And these criminals in D.C. couldn't even get a goddamn load of water in there for people to drink. Nothing. What day is it? Tuesday. How long has that been going on? 3 days. What's happening? Nothing. What's on TV tonight? Man, turn that off. I can't stand looking at those people in New Orleans. I bet it stinks in there. What do you want to bet it's stanky in there? You think it's stanky in there? Yeah, man, listen, I heard on Fox News that there are gangs in there now. Yeah, that's right, and they're raping people and cutting people's throats and selling crack. Man, can you believe that? Huh? I've spent time in New Orleans. I've been there a number of times. I've been in Jackson Square. And then to see that ghostly-looking twerp come out with that lighting, that night, and there stands George Bush in front of the church at Jackson Square. Talking about the tragedy. You dumb bastard, you think we needed to hear you tell us, Americans, about what we've been watching on television for 5 days because your filthy administration can't do anything? We just want to tell people in New Orleans, we'll stick with you. We'll be here. We'll take care of you. We're going to get some of these trailers down here that's soaked with formaldehyde. And we're going to set them up out in the middle of nowhere where you all can't get to work. You can't get to the grocery store. You can't get to dry cleaners. You can't get to the laundromat. And you damn sure can't get your kids in school. But that's all right. You have a roof over your head. What do you want? Oh, by the way, the trailers are full of poison, so y'all are going to die. Not now, but 10 years from now, you're going to wake up some morning and cough, and great big clots of blood are going to come up. You're going to go, what the hell? And somebody's going to say, you must have been living in a FEMA asbestos trailer back in 2005, right? Oh, yeah, I sure was. So don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me about I've got it wrong. Please don't tell me about some chump-ass WWL poll that 522 people answered. Don't do that to me. Go do that with somebody you can drink beer with. Go tell that to your mama. Go tell it to your friend next door. Go tell it to somebody else. But don't call this program and tell me about some WWL poll where 94% of the people in New Orleans said, good idea! All 522 of them, huh?
I believe in urban homesteading. That says we're going to identify federal property and provide lots for low-income citizens that they'll have for free, so long as they build a house on there with a mortgage.
For free? When's that supposed to happen, dumb bastard? Huh? For free as long as they have a mortgage. Let me see. For free as long... Oh! Gosh, that sounds like communism. How about just giving folks some help? Oh, never mind. Back to your phone calls. Alice is calling from Old Joe, Arkansas. Alice, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine.
Listen, those two guys that called in just make me freaking crazy. If we don't agitate for the people in New Orleans, who's going to agitate for the rest of us, because we're all just a little bit further down on that list?
Well, it's like, what was his first name? Niemöller said in Germany.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah, because we're all on that list. They don't give a damn about you or me or the people in New Orleans, you know? And who do those people, I mean, how do they think they're going to get out of this? We're all in this together. Now, but the real thing I called about was you were watching the wrong screen today. If you'd been watching the right screen, you would understand it in the way you're supposed to understand it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because what AP News said was that the protesters forced the police to spray them with chemical spray and taser them.
Oh, man.
Forced.
Yeah.
They forced the police.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I just about fell out of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the new frame.
Yeah,
anybody who speaks out is forcing the police to do away with them.
Well, that's true. When the First Amendment is no longer operative, then sure, if you don't disperse when you are told to disperse, if you don't shut up when you're told to shut up, then you're just forcing the authorities to do something to you. Either taser you or pepper spray you or take you away.
And or throw you in a federal prison like Don Siegelman.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, if it happens to Don Siegelman, how soon do those people think it's not going to happen to them?
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, they all think it's not going to happen to them, and as long as they're in that mindset, we're all in trouble, because it is going to happen to us, unless we agitate.
Yeah,
and you know, the blood of some of us may have to be spilled in order, if we want to keep this democracy or get back our republic.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, Alice.
Anyway, I'm just one of those people that got infiltrated by them damn commies back in the 60s who made me go out there and agitate against the war in Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about people like you. Thanks, Alice.
Bye, Mike.
All right, take care. Take care. You know, maybe it's because I get the Times, New York Times, here at the house, and I also get the Journal Constitution, the Atlanta paper. And I'm sitting in the breakfast nook this morning. Kathy is off taking the kid to preschool. I'm having a cup of coffee, and I'm looking at New York Times. And I made a mistake. Normally, I go to the editorial page first and then work backwards. But today, I start with page one and then start going the normal way through the newspaper, front to back. And I'm reading these stories about all this stuff going on in the world, really, people just hurting all over the place as a result of policies, either instituted by their governments or our government. I'm reading about the repressive regime of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. I'm reading about what's, and the Egyptians, how they're being treated, how the Palestinians are being treated. I'm reading this stuff, and I'm looking at photographs and pictures and, just typical New York Times. If you sit and read it through cover to cover some morning, you'll be hard-pressed not to open one of your own veins and just say to hell with it or cancel your subscription. But it's really unnerving stuff and interspersed among these articles, of course, are the ads for $7,000 handbags, $200,000 rings, $6,000 coffee makers, $80,000 statuettes. $85,000 watches, $1,500 shoes, and I'm sitting there just thinking to myself, I know there's a demographic to whom these ads are being targeted. There are people who can actually do that. But the immediate question afterwards is why? And why would they want to? What? Jesus. And on top of that, then immediately starts the video from what's going on in front of, or the live shot, what's going on in front of City Hall in New Orleans. And it was just a bit much. That's all. You know what I mean? Sure you do.
Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
Yeah. See them all bloodshot. All right, before we go back to your phone calls here, this is from Nancy in Amherst, New Hampshire, who's the Northeast with the Northeast Impeachment Coalition. Mike, please encourage people to go to WexlerWantsHearings.com. That is the one of the representatives from Florida. WexlerWantsHearings.com. And sign up on his petition and sign on his petition to impeach Cheney first. In his live radio blog tonight from Florida, which just finished, he called for people to go to the above website and sign, talk with their representatives about these impeachable crimes, keep writing letters to the editors of area newspapers, and get the info out there and get on with it now. We need to bring this information out to the public big time. Mainstream media will not do this. They're just as complicit as the Bush crime family and half the Democrats. It says six times in the Constitution we shall impeach. Thank you, Nancy. WexlerWantsHearings.com. Now, we talked about this a couple times when that site first went up. I think it was this week. But if you haven't signed that petition and you do believe that it is necessary to remove these bastards from office, starting with Cheney, then go there. I mean, if you're content to allow things to go as they are for another year, okay, then don't go. But the site is Wexler, W-E-X-L-E-R, WexlerWantsHearings.com. Okay, back to your phone calls. Kevin is calling from New Orleans, listening on the Internet. Kevin, welcome to the program.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine.
Good, Mike. I kind of agree with the second call you had online tonight.
All right. About what?
These people did come from out of town. A lot of them. They have, and they're trying to tell us how to rebuild our city.
No, I don't think they are. No. They're not telling you how to rebuild your city. What they're doing is advocating for people who are being just shuffled and kicked to the street. Do you live in New Orleans?
Yes, I do.
Do you realize what has happened to 80, 90, 100,000 of your fellow New Orleanians? Do you know where they are? Do you know how they're?
I know where my family is. And
No. I'm not talking about your family, pal. Think beyond the borders of your own backyard, okay? Because honest to Christ, there is a world out there that is beyond your family. Do you know where 150,000 people who used to live in New Orleans are living tonight?
Yeah, somewhere in
the United States. Okay, do you care?
I care. The fact of the matter is our city will be better without these places because they were
No, we're not talking about places. Damn it. What is it that I'm saying that some of you folks are not getting? I'm not talking about places. I'm talking about people, Kevin. Oh Jesus, never mind, Kevin. I can't believe that an hour and a half into this, you are calling me up with that kind of gibberish. I'm not talking about places. I'm talking about people. And if somebody were to say to me, do you know where 150,000 fellow Atlantans are who were blown out of their homes because of a flood? And I answer, well, someplace in America. I don't know. I would expect somebody to come up and say to me, man, who pulled your heart out and stomped it and replaced it with some kind of a clockwork mechanism? Come on, Kevin, for Christ's sake. It's Christmas. Does that work on you? It's Christmas. Even the baby Jesus, who was homeless with his parents, had three kings and the wise men show up and bring him gifts. It's not about the place, Kevin. It's not about the slums in New Orleans. It's not about the manger in a stable. It's about the people. Don't you get it? What the hell has happened in this country that people can call me up and say, well, we're better off without those places? I'm not talking about the places. You sound a little bit like Barbara Bush, pal. You really do.
Well, you're better off here in the Astrodome.
Lee is calling from Beaumont, Texas. Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, I guess. How are you?
I'm fine. Mike, I'm truly enjoying the program.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I said okay.
I like to maybe impart some history on some of your listeners.
Okay, go ahead.
I am 56 years old. Obviously, I'm a black man, born and raised in New Orleans.
That wasn't obvious to me.
I guess I take that as a compliment.
Well, no, I mean, when somebody called, I'm always curious. I never know who's black or who's white until they, you know, maybe if they say, if they start identifying themselves, but it's not obvious to me. I mean, I have no idea, but go ahead. I don't mean to sidetrack you. Go ahead. Give us the history.
I am old enough to remember during integration days and during those times, these very same projects that are being demolished or soon to be demolished were occupied basically by white people.
Mm-hmm. Most slum housing was. The first big project of public housing in America was right here in New Orleans, and I've seen pictures. It was back, when was it, Kathy, back in the 30s, and it was all white people. Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. I can remember some of the larger complexes were all white, and they were all white for years. When my dad was a kid, they were all white.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, if I remember correctly, during integration, all of a sudden, the majority of the white people disappeared to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a federal program that only, you know, some people knew about or what.
Well,
but
you wouldn't be surprised, though, would you? Neither.
No, I would not. I would not be surprised.
I know.
I know one thing. The projects cleared of white folks, and black folks started moving in.
That's right.
And at the same time, I believe that this is when the Housing Authority and HUD, I don't think it was called HUD then, but on a federal level, you know, they stopped maintaining to stop taking care of those buildings.
Sure.
Fast forward to the late 80s, now a push comes all over the country to tear these large complexes down.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it's an attempt to dismantle the Roosevelt initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
of the Great Deal. I mean, a New Deal.
Right.
You know,
well,
there
was some rationale behind. I lived in Chicago in 97, 98, 99, and the first half of 2000, and there was a move to get rid of those vertical slums in Chicago, all those such and such homes.
Right.
You know, anything that has a name and then homes after it, watch out. And all those multi-storied, 50, 60-story vertical slums that had just been, it was an attempt in the 60s in Chicago and a lot of places to really, really, really segregate black folks, mostly black folks, maybe a few poor whites. They were Bantustans. It was like South Africa. It was to stick folks someplace where they wouldn't get in the way of progress, where they wouldn't be standing in the way when the developers wanted to come in and tear this down and tear that down. Now, I happen to believe that getting rid of some of those slums and housing projects is a damn good idea, but you don't just pull the people out like you're pulling somebody's teeth out and throw them in the garbage can and then tear down the slums and say, look at the good work we've done. We got rid of the slums. There are people there. There are women and men and children and old people and crippled folks and mentally disturbed people and normal people and churchgoers and atheists and Democrats and all kinds of people that you can't just, I don't mean you, the government or the city or the state just can't come in and say, okay, we've had enough of these slums.
Well, if your social policies over the past 50 years have created these slums, if your racist attitudes have created this, now what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and say, we got to get rid of this, but we're not going to provide for the people who live here? That's
exactly.
Murderous. That's
exactly.
Vile. That's like gang warfare. That's like injecting crack. That's like invading Iraq. I mean, that's the wrong attitude. And that's what I was freaked out about this morning watching this stuff in New Orleans. Because I've seen this happen in Chicago. I've seen it happen in Detroit. I've seen it happen in Cleveland. I've seen it happen here in Atlanta. Where folks are just moved out. Just go away. Get out of here. Get out of my face. Go away. Where am I supposed to go? I don't know. Away. I'm sorry. I jumped all over what you had to say, Lee.
Well, let me take the opportunity to ask you a question.
All right. Very quickly. We got a break.
Have you ever lived in New Orleans for any length of time?
No, I have not lived there. I've spent a lot of time there. Had a lot of friends there. Went to festivals there. Went there just to walk around. So I'm familiar with it. Lee, I got to leave it there, pal. We got a break here. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back. Stay with us, Truth Seekers.
Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
It's about 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Stu is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Stu.
How are you tonight, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, a somber discussion here tonight. What I tell anybody who wants to talk about this subject is, I call this the 21st century Trail of Tears. I find a great analogy to the period of time that Jackson kicked the Native Americans out of the Southeast and moved them away. And when you think about when I think about the day before Katrina hit, I remember watching the Weather Channel, and I can't recall the Asian fellow's name who is the meteorologist, but the look on his face was something otherworldly. And I thought at the time, well, it's because the severity of this storm. But I think now these people are so in communication with the national, you know, their National Weather Service, communicating with whomever. And I think they probably knew that nothing was being planned. And the look on this man's face was one of mortification. I'll never forget that. And I think that this was done by design. I think that this is all their plans are coming into fruition. And it's a pretty sad testament, and just another chink in the Bush crime family's little scheme of things, and how they, you know, it was a slam dunk. Good job, Brownie. You know?
Yeah. You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Yeah, I can remember just, I mean, for years, I have wondered during hurricane season, when is one going to hit New Orleans? And when that sucker started moving towards New Orleans, and I think all of us know now that the hurricane did not hit New Orleans. It went up ashore in Mississippi. It didn't even go ashore in Louisiana. But the tremendous amounts of rain and the lies and deception by the Army Corps of Engineers, and so many people knew that those levees would not hold, and nothing was going to be done, and nothing was done, and it left me with the impression, and I still have it, because, you know, after 7 years of Bush, when I see three people together now, I think they're making a conspiracy. I started wondering why. Everybody knows
that should know, especially people in New Orleans, especially the state of Louisiana, and especially the Corps of Engineers, that those levees will not hold.
You got to think that they knew that that was the case. And that, the look on that man's face on the Weather Channel that day, I've never seen a look of mortified, just hellish, like all that he could not say, you know. It was just being said with his expression. And, yeah, that's what sticks out to me that from that time. But the way these people handled them, putting them in these neoprene boxes, dehumanizing everything, it's just, you never thought you'd ever see things come to this, Mike, and I'm sure you can expound on that. But, you know, thanks for what you do, and we'll just keep listening. And
well, thanks.
That's all it is. You can
all
have,
right,
man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Stu. Take care. Take care. Wasn't it the next year? I'm starting to lose track of time. Was it the next year or shortly after that when that horrible tsunami hit Indonesia, all over the that part of the Pacific, and what happened afterwards? Was it Clinton and this degenerate old bastard Pappy Bush? Weren't they out there raising money for folks halfway around the world? Which was good. Okay, fine. But did Bill Clinton and Pappy Bush, if they wanted to raise money for people that were in desperate straits, did they have to go to into Damnesia? Couldn't they have just gone down to New Orleans or somewhere in Mississippi, and just go to Gulfport, go to any of 15 or 20 little towns in Mississippi or Louisiana that just disappeared because of the storm? I mean, the pictures I saw from the Mississippi Gulf Coast and the pictures I saw after the tidal wave receded in Sumatra or Indonesia, wherever the hell, I'm not remembering all the names, but the pictures look the same. The death toll was different. Yeah, how many Americans died in New Orleans? Not New Orleans, but in the Katrina disaster, compared with people in Indonesia. They had a couple hundred thousand deaths, didn't they? Huh? Horrifying. And you know, bright blessings on anyone who goes anywhere on the planet to help people. But according to my first two callers, or one of my callers tonight, those are agitators. Those are outsiders. What the hell do you call Bush or Pappy Bush and Clinton when they tried to go help somebody? They didn't have to go to Indonesia. They could have gone to New Orleans. They could have gone to Mississippi. What is it that stops us from helping our own people? What is it about us that says, no, me first, screw you, let me have one of them $7,000 handbags? What is that? Is that Christian? Is that Jewish? What is that? Is that Muslim? What kind of everybody tells me that you've got to have a religion before you can have morality and ethics. Okay, I don't believe that, but okay, let's go on your argument. What is a $7,000 handbag? What is a $40,000 watch? What does that mean? What's a $10,000 dress? What's a $15,000 crystal vase? What is this stuff? Oops. I did it again, didn't I? Okay, ran out the clock. I'm sorry. We have another hour. Stick around. I'm going to get your phone calls. I don't know if we're going to get to the Bush clips tonight. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Boy, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free.
Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. Thanks to everybody who reminded me the tsunami was in December 2004. The Indian Ocean earthquake and subsequent tsunami in Sumatra and Indonesia. Several people wrote in. I'm sorry, I just... Will in Chicago pretty much stated it. Mike, the tsunami was in late 2004, just after Christmas. As Naomi Klein, author of Shock Doctrine, and others have documented, the recovery in many areas is a false recovery. It's a recovery of hotels and casinos and other projects for the developers. This is not Christian, Jewish, or Muslim. The action of too many people are all about greed. Yeah. Thanks to Peter for sending in. Bruce writes, Mike, according to court records, the company that did the work on the flood walls in the early 90s, the levees in New Orleans, sued the Army Corps of Engineers, saying that the way walls were being built, they would fail. They described in detail how this would happen, but their suit was dismissed as they had no standing to sue the government. Well, we all have great 2020 hindsight, don't we? I know I damn sure do. You show me a problem that has occurred, and I can tell you exactly what should have been done. But in some instances, we start screaming about what should be done because it's one of those... But if you don't do that, then this will happen. And I think a lot of people were trying to tell the federal government or the Corps of Engineers, I mean, people who know, not people like me who guess, but people who know, who understand, understood the structure of the levees, understood hydro pressure, whatever it's called. Just like there are people who understand that the buildings that came down as a result of the planes being flown into them do not come down the way they came down. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a radio talk show host who has a hard time even getting up in the morning. Back to your calls. Virginia is calling from Alameda, California. Hey, Virginia.
Hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing heck of good. It's so good to hear you hollering and screaming about this. Somebody has to. The mainstream media had me ripping out my hair and everybody talking about violence. Who perpetrated the violence?
Oh, yeah, I know. Did you watch any of that today?
No, I don't even have a TV anymore. I would have
shut it.
So I can't do it. I don't want to be violent.
No,
I watch things online. I was watching all of the news online, and I do actually see some of the TV online, you know, on the cable, from the cable news. And it was really bad. And finally, I'm doing a lot of Obama work, so I'm looking through his media, too, and out comes a story from the black local newspaper here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Between Oakland and San Francisco, his office is in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God he put out a call saying, don't raise it before you replace it, and get these people out of those formaldehyde trailers and do something with 12,000 homeless just in the streets of New Orleans alone.
Yeah.
Displaced throughout the nation. And, I mean, you know, I swear, it is going to make a difference to have him in there because it will be made a priority. It really will. And it's I don't see any other way that it will, because listen to the people calling you, so-called liberals, and they're defending Alfonso Jackson.
Mm-hmm,
giving almost a $500,000 contract to these developers who owe him $250,000 somehow. It is all so disgusting and smelly. The guy was defending HUD. HUD that's gotten rid of 200,000, well, you know, almost $250,000 public housing units and tried to... and get it with Section 8, another $250,000, and try to get rid of almost a million more Section 8 eligibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Out. I mean, they're not even thinking, like you said, of the human beings, of the human people who are suffering, who are going to die. Imagine babies in these formaldehyde trailers and elderly people.
I can't. That's what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, there'll be a shot, a photograph, aerial photograph or whatever, in the Times, in the Journal Constitution, in Newsweek, whatever, and it will show these trailer areas where FEMA finally got around to sticking thousands of people out in the middle of nowhere, and then the areas patrolled by private security guards who don't let people in, don't let people out. I mean, Jesus, God in heaven. And what did these people do? They were victimized by what appeared to be a flood, but what was in fact an absolute lack of concern about an engineering problem that was going to cost hundreds of thousands of people their homes. And now they're being blamed. And now let's go ahead and rip up the slummy, filthy, stinking houses that the floodwaters destroyed. And I'm all for that. And why don't you provide the folks who used to live there? This is America, for Christ's sake. If we've got money to send to the Middle East, we've got billions to spend on war, and we can't come up with money to build houses for 100,000 people and say, here! I mean, what the hell?
What insanity, dude. And this is America. You know, it's like, these are American sisters. And, you know, if we can't even treat our own people any better than that, what the heck is the point in having a U.S. government? What, just so they can have their contractors, you know, steal all our money? Why don't we just rip off all our pockets, throw all our stuff in the streets, and say, come on and take it?
That's what we're doing.
And these people are just buying into this. Oh, those outsiders. It's exactly like you said. It sounded like Selma, like the crackers talking about, you know, the rabble rousers in the day when the Freedom Riders came in. And it was a disaster. That's the kind of garbage we heard for how long? Those rabble rousers from outside. Those rabble rousers.
And it's a situation, Virginia, that it just eats at me. It really does. Hey, listen, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. You know, just like American troops that went to Europe to stop the Nazis, you know. And there was a strong movement in this country by the same people who say, the same type of mindset that's saying now outsiders coming to New Orleans telling people what to do with Reconstruction, which is not what people are trying to do. What the outsiders and the people of New Orleans who still have the energy to do anything about getting their lives back, what they're saying is, no, you know, just treat us like human beings. But, you know, you think about the U.S. Expeditionary Forces that so many people in this country tried to prevent, tried to keep us out of so-called World War II. No, let the Nazis have all of Europe. That's right. What's wrong with a little fascism? I mean, the leading lights in this country said it. So what are we supposed to believe? That the outsiders that came over to liberate Nazi-controlled France and Czechoslovakia and Italy and Austria and Germany and Finland and Latvia and, you know, just on and on. Not Finland. On and on and on. Yeah, Finland. On and on and on. They were outsiders too, huh? Come on. Don't make me make analogies like that, because they're kind of stupid analogies to begin with. But my God, when folks are trying to help other folks, never mind. Back to the phone calls. Rich is calling from Toledo, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Hey, let me give you a little rundown on another group of outsiders for New Orleans there. I got a member of my family. He called me about a year ago. He hooked up with an investment group. What they were doing was they were going down buying land in New Orleans. I didn't have any money to invest. He threw like $100,000 into it. He's talking about like a 30-fold return on this. That's all that land down there has already been promised. Just the pre-sale deposits that they've got. He's got his money back in the bank already. And then the money that they're going to make on that, I don't know if you remember when Bush told them that all their investments are going to be taxed at like 15%.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hold on a second, Rich. Let me do a break. We'll come back. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
you can say what you like, but there's just something very appealing about corporate rock, isn't there? I love Journey. Always have. Always will. And REO Speedwagon. And
You just keep on rocking there, man.
Yeah, keep...
Starship, who else did you like? Well, Pink Floyd was popular then.
Well, yeah, but they don't do stuff like Don't Stop Believin'.
ELO.
Yeah. Yeah, some of it was pretty good.
Def Leppard.
22 past the hour. Back to Rich in Toledo, Ohio. Sorry, Rich.
Duran.
We got sidetracked there. I'm sorry. Rich, where were we?
Don't forget Jackson Browne, too.
Oh, yeah, Jackson Browne, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just telling you about how they're going to be getting their money back on their investments, too. And, you know, with the tax rate they're going to get, plus he said they're probably going to get another tax break for developing in, I think they call it an urban blight area.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for a $100,000 investment, he's looking at like $3 million tax-free when it all comes clear.
I'm not surprised. The same thing happened in Mississippi. There were low-interest or no-interest grants given to help people recover in Mississippi. And we talked about this with Sarge on this program and with Kate and a couple other people. What happened? Some of that money went to build $500,000 condominiums near the University of Ole Miss in Jackson, Mississippi, 150 miles from the coastline. It's just unbelievable what can happen when poor people get hit with something like this, and all of a sudden, whatever resources they have, whatever little claim to some little patch of dirt that they had disappears, and all of a sudden, here come the sharks, here come the snakes, here come the predators. It's just astonishing, and it's not just an American thing. It's a human thing, and it's pretty heartbreaking. I swear to God, it's pretty heartbreaking.
And also, you know, if anything ever happens like that levee breaches again, All them high priced houses down there, they're going to be rebuilt like the guys that live on both coasts. They're going to get that low cost insurance. They're going to rebuild them, get their money out again.
I hear you. I hear you, Rich.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Jan is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Jan.
Hey, greetings from the frozen north.
Hey, we could, I'd love to see some snow. We're supposed to have rain on Christmas, which
man, we got enough snow to supply you for another year.
Yeah. last time I was in Madison, I just damn near froze to death. Yeah, you all get some cold winters up there. I swear you do.
Yeah, it takes backbone to live here.
Yeah, it does. It does, and a lot of firewood or something. But that's not why you called, Jan.
No. The reason I called is, well, first, on a bright note, you know, way to go Arnold Schwarzenegger for thumbing his nose at Bush in the EPA ruling.
You know, I desperately wanted to get to that tonight, and we're not going to get to it. It'll hold over until we can't do it tomorrow night, and we're off Monday and Tuesday. We will get to that story on Wednesday, because even though it appears that the Secretary of Energy, the Energy Department, the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, is denying California's petition to limit greenhouse gas emission from cars and trucks. This is astonishing stuff. And I want to get to that, and we will get to it. But go ahead with what you're saying. You know you can tease it for us tonight.
Well, he continues to surprise me, considering that
Schwarzenegger. You know what the deal is with him? He's married to a Kennedy.
Absolutely. Good for Maria.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but the other thing I wanted to comment on, too, and you've hit on it, is this callous indifference I encounter in people who are of the right to anybody who's poor. It's continually it hits me right in the gut. I don't know how many times I've heard this, especially after Katrina. I heard people say, well, it's their fault for living there.
Oh, I know.
And
oh,
I said,
God.
Well, that's a stupid thing to say. We had a tornado tear through Stoughton and a couple of other outlying areas here and destroyed homes and killed a person. And I said, so should we blame those people for living in the path of a tornado?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. How can you say somebody is at fault for living where they live, and a natural disaster occurs there.
You know? The other part that disturbs me, Jan, is there's a certain brand of Christianity that says, being rich, being wealthy, grabbing up money is a good thing. As a matter of fact, it makes Jesus happy. And I forget what that's called, prosperity.
Idiocy?
Yeah, well, it's called that. But, you know, how many, there were some people of faith who really tried to help down in New Orleans, but the problem was overwhelming. And I just wonder sometimes, and this is purely rhetorical, how many of these mega churches around the country that have 8, 10, 15, 25,000 members, how many of those churches got every member to kick in $100 and send, $2 million down to help rebuild New Orleans and help folks out? I bet you it wasn't many, do you think?
I'm with you there. You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons I don't follow organized religion anymore is because of twitching like a finger on the trigger of a gun. Even nothing but the
FEMA directors work 24 hours a day. And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
All journey, all night. Got another email here from Nancy up in Amherst, New Hampshire. Representative Anthony Weiner, Democrat in New York, said today he will sign on to Wexler's petition letter to John Conyers to begin now with the impeachment investigations. The count right now, people who have signed at WexlerWantsHearings.com, is 119,656. What Nancy says, we want now to go to 250,000. It hasn't even been a week to call for these signatures. And she says, I've just gotten my shipment of impeach Bush cards. They're fabulous. 54 ways to say impeach. That's another thing I forgot. We're going to be giving some of those away again tomorrow night, too. ImpeachBushCards.com if you want to take a look at them. I don't know how many we'll give away tomorrow. We'll try to give away a lot. Anyway, Representative Anthony Weiner, or Weiner, I don't know how to say it, Nancy, because for obvious reasons. Weiner? Is it Weiner? Has agreed to sign on to this petition. Maybe something might be beginning to happen. And then again, maybe not. We'll see. And Jan, who called in, who was on the phone with us right before that break, Jan, I'm sorry, I lost track of the time and just... We got run over, but there's certain breaks in this program that we have to hit exactly on the second. And you happen to be talking when one of those came, and I'm sorry. Call back in, and we'll put you back on if we have an open line. Back to your phone calls. David is calling from Whitewater, Wisconsin, also listening on the mic. Hey, David.
Oh, hey, Mike.
How are you?
I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a registered Republican.
Oh, yeah? All right, no, you're
not. Anyway, I got tuned into you back when I lived in Hollywood. My buddy Glenn would send me CDs with your shows on them.
Oh, yeah?
And it was really cool. You know, I got tuned in, you know, listening all the time now. and you really inspired me tonight, brother. War on terrorism, though? War on terrorism? This is a freaking war on class. This is a freaking class war.
Yeah, there is a lot of that happening now. We used to be very neatly divided in this country along racial lines. If you were white, if you were white, you were all right. If you were black, get back. And that's kind of stopped now, because I think a lot of middle class and upper class whites came to realize that being just an overt out front upfront racist was kind of tacky. So now it's become a class thing, especially not that it always wasn't a class thing, but I know what you're talking about. It's more class now. You make under $100,000 a year and you're suspect, you know?
Yeah, brother, you got the power, brother. You inspired me tonight. I was stuck, and now I've got something. I've got something to work with. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Well, thank you, David. I appreciate you checking in. Let me see here. Frank is calling from Tennessee, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Frank, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. Hey. How are you?
Good, man, good. I'm glad to hear it. I like the way you handled Ed. I think Ed's a dumbass. I don't think he's a liberal, because if he did, he'd care about other people. So I don't think he's a liberal at all. I just think he's a dumbass. I don't even know what the point he was trying to make.
I don't either.
Bottom line, I think that the New Orleans, they don't want them black people back. That's why they're tearing down them houses. They don't want them back. They'd rather replace them with white people that would move into the city and bring more money into the city. That's what it's all about. It's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know it and I know it. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
They don't want them back. They're gone. And they're going, now they're wanting to shut the door on them. They don't want them to come back. That's just my feeling. What I think is, I think the black people in this country need leadership, because they've got a lot to complain about, the way their kids are getting killed. They're killing one another and all that. Man, something's wrong. It's broke. It's broke. It needs to be fixed.
Well, wait, back up a second. What, say that again, because I was looking at something here on my computer screen. Say that again.
Oh, what I said was, I think that black people have got some things to complain about, legitimately, too. I mean, not just this housing issue, but, I mean, the way the black kids are killing one another, something's wrong.
It's easy to define, I think, or to understand what's wrong, and I'm not sure. In the first place, I don't think we have enough time tonight to get into it. But when you have folks who have been dealing with an attitude from the dominant culture for 350 years, it's not surprising that they internalize some of that ugliness that came from the dominant culture. In this case, I'm talking about white folk.
Yeah, I am too.
And black people who have and there are a lot who have internalized that that attitude from white people. So you know, when you say there are problems in the black community with kids. Yeah, absolutely. There are problems, of course, as you know, in the white community with kids too. It just manifests differently from. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. All the more reason to Frank to try to work with people and not kick them to the curb. You know, to try to keep families intact. You know, 20 some years ago, a decision was made to utterly and absolutely destroy black families. It was a conscious decision. Now, that decision wasn't passed down to folks like you and me, or we would have gotten mildly pissed off about it and might have written a letter to our congressman or something. But and the way that was done, one of the ways it was done, was with the sentencing laws, where the ability, you know, federal sentencing regulations. What am I trying to say, Kathy? The federal sentencing guidelines that took away from judges who would know. You know, somebody appears in the courtroom. The judge, you know, one of the first things they do when someone's found guilty is they do a probation report. Okay, let's see what's in this dude's background. You know, is he supposed to go to jail or can he be put on probation, released back into the community? If we put him in jail for his crack or his cocaine or his reefer or whatever, if we put him in jail, how many people is that going to affect? Does he have a spouse? Does he have children? Does he have kids in school? What's the best way to handle? All that was taken away from judges by the Federal Sentencing Commission. What in the hell is a Federal Sentencing Commission? I'll tell you what it was. It was a deliberate, conscious attempt, and it worked damn good and well, to destroy families in this country, a number of which were black, the majority of which. Come on. White people. You know what I'm talking about. Now, just last week, or is it this week, the Supreme Court finally got around to the crack and the powder cocaine thing, saying, well, we probably made a mistake on that one, so let's return to the judges the freedom to be a judge. Now, how many people have been in prison now? For how many years? How many families have been utterly destroyed because somebody, some man in the family, and in a lot of cases some woman in the family, for whatever reason, and I don't think it's a matter of moral failure, whatever reason, started sucking on a crack pipe or honking up lines or dealing or whatever, and wound up in prison. And what happens to the kids? Are folks aware of how many children in this country now have their mother in jail, in federal prison? And for the most part, it's all drug charges? Which is a whole different issue, right? When I was a kid growing up in the north, in Toledo, Ohio, was there racism? Hell yes. But were there intact black families to the same extent that there were intact white families? Black divorcees, black people on welfare was as unusual as white divorces and white people on welfare. And something happened. Your problem solvers, yeah. 10 before the hour, Bob writes, Mike, remember those city council members in New Orleans were elected by the people who weren't evacuated, you know, not poor people. The displaced citizens of New Orleans were not allowed to vote in absentia. Now, also remember that Iraqis in this country were allowed to vote in the elections held in Iraq. Not so for the thousands of people who used to live in New Orleans but were spread out all over the country. The city council members represent this century's carpetbaggers. Bob. Yeah. Forgotten about that. Thanks to the crew tonight, Ian Huff, who engineered at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. He also answered your calls. Billy Foster is our technical director. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. And Catherine Bay is our number one Journey fan and executive producer. See, she puts that music on, and y'all can't see. She's doing her best karaoke here on the other side of the glass.
I'm doing a mean Steve Perry imitation.
You are.
I've got the hair for it.
You do. And, you know, I'm sitting over here thinking, God, I used to think I had a crush on Steven Tyler, but I guess it's Perry. I got to share this with you since this came up. This is when Florida attorney Norm Kent received a form letter from Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota condemning marijuana. Attorney Kent in Florida fired off this note to his former Hofstra University smoking buddy. And I got to share this with you. This is in the current issue of The Nation. My friend Norman, years ago in a lifetime far away, you did not oppose the legalization of marijuana. Sure, we had to tape the doors shut, burn incense, and open the windows, yet we grew up okay without the help of the Office of National Drug Control Policy's advice. We grew up to become lawyers. Our other friends, as you go down the list, are doctors, professors, parents, political consultants, and professionals. No one ever got cancer from smoking pot or diabetes from using a joint. You never said then that pot was dangerous. What was scary then and is as frightening now is when national leaders become voices of hypocrisy, harbingers of the status quo, and protect their own position instead of the public good. In your public life, as an attorney general, mayor, and United States senator, you have been in the forefront of speaking out against abuses which are harmful. You have been a noble and honorable public servant. How about admitting that if the Rockefeller drug laws were applied to Norman Bruce Coleman on Long Island in 1968, or to me, or to our friends and fellow students, you, I, and others we knew and loved might just be getting out of jail now? How about standing up and saying, I, Norm Coleman, smoked pot in 1969? That, quote, I'm not a gang member, a drug addict, or a criminal. How about saying, I was able to responsibly integrate my prior pot use into my life and still succeed on my own merits? How about standing up, Norm, not only for who you are, but who you were? And it's signed Norm Kent. You know who Norm Coleman is. He's the one that Al Franken is going to retire in the elections coming up in 08 in Minnesota. Back to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on the Internet. Welcome to the program, Alan.
Hi. Boy, this the talk of New Orleans is just so shattering to the soul. I mean, we have a refugee situation here. Nobody wants to admit it. And as this guy Bob aptly said, that people went in there and took advantage of everything there. What bothers me above all is that practically nobody, we're the people standing up in Congress, stopping what happened in New Orleans today. Why do they have to leave it up to people like you and me to go out there on the streets and into the city halls and try and stop it? I mean, you talk about outside interference. George Bush is in the White House because of those Brooks Brothers guys, who Republican operatives, who came down to Miami and stopped the recount.
That's right. That's
they
right.
are so full of crap, it's unbelievable. And so you look around and say, who is saying anything? I at least can say that there is somebody who is trying to make some sort of sense of both New Orleans in peace and the money coming back from the war and being spent appropriately to reconstruct the United States. Mm-hmm. And most people don't really know about it, but I think it's time that we listen to the words of Cynthia McKinney at RunCynthiaRun.org.
What is it? RunCynthiaRun? She's running on the green ticket now, right?
And she has in her address, she talks about New Orleans at a considerable length and talks about the vision of a future, mm-hmm. of working together and building something and not sending money to mercenary troops and to private contractors and all this kind of stuff. And I think it's an interesting vision that should be shared, at least heard.
I think more and more people of a certain persuasion, maybe of a certain age, maybe of a certain mindset, are going to, after this next election, decide that the Democratic Party is just not the place we want to be, and that the Green Party is probably, it probably is the place we want to be. So I think there's going to be a change in the political landscape in the country, Alan. The only thing that worries me about it is in the transition period, whether or not we will dilute whatever power we think we still have, and it will allow the fascists, both Republican and Democrat, to kind of seal the deal, and folks like McKinney or you or me or a lot of people listening to this program will be forever on the outside.
My concern is that if we don't create the right visions and say the right things and point the right direction, that's exactly what we are doing.
I hear you.
The dilution has already happened, and it's happened in this Congress. The Congress should have been up on their feet today, shutting down that process in New Orleans, saying, no, we can't do that to the American people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I hear you loud and clear.
And you ought to hear, her words are magic.
Okay. I'll check. What is it? RunCynthiaRun.org.
.org.
All right, Alan, I got to leave it there. We got to boogie. Thanks
a
lot, pal.
Bye.
Take care. All right. Thanks for hanging out tonight and for participating in the program. If I pissed you off, I apologize. We'll see you tomorrow night for the Molloy Program Christmas Party. It's going to be a lot of fun, so get a nice jug of wine or some mead and join us, okay? We're going to have a good time. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.